Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, do remember throughout the course of the broadcast, resource consultants are standing by. The number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We have a brand new resource for the month. It's titled Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. And I want to talk about that a little bit today with one of the primary contributors, his name, Paul Nelson. But before I do that, I want to mention that reality just isn't what it used to be. The simple truth is that our external world is changing at a dizzying pace. The pace that has huge implications for our world views ought not to be dealt with in cavalier fashion. We need to redouble our efforts as Christ followers to share the good news with a spiritually hungry but very, very skeptical world. Consider some mind-blowing statistics. Google now, they generate every 24 hours an amount of information equal to the total information generated from the dawn of civilization until just recently. India, well, they have now more honor students than the United States has students, period. And China has used more cement in the last 3 years than the United States did in the 20th century. The list of staggering statistics could just go on and on and on. But here's the challenge. We have to stand for biblical truth in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism. And while our external world has experienced revolutionary changes, the internal thought worlds of many of us have remained largely unfazed. I'm aware that many would wear this truth as a badge of honor. They might even believe it to be a confirmation of their resolve to embrace the faith once for all delivered for the saints. But the problem is that the sources of cultural authority regarding what constitutes reality have flat out been upended. We used to say the Bible says, and that had a ring of authority. But that baton has now been passed to science. And therefore, launching into the Bible says is speaking an utterly foreign language to scientifically minded secularists. And therefore, our very earnest but misguided efforts to quote the Bible to skeptical secularists is going to be about as persuasive is handing them cuneiform tablets in ancient Ugaritic. Simply put, to even be admitted to the table with these folks increasingly requires that we speak the language of science and not religion. And that's a language of facts that are verifiable by observation. Because they're unlikely con- testing verifiable facts, especially if they don't even know what those facts are. And that means the agenda now shifts to the adequacy of theories. Theories like blind and unguided naturalistic evolution. All of that is prologue to say that one of the reasons I want to send you Living Waters is that this is a brilliant new production from Illustra Media's The Design of Life series, and many of you will fondly remember the earlier films like Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, and Flight, The Genius of Birds. Living Waters is an incredible resource that is perfectly suited for everyone, from the elderly to students. I watched it again last night with two young kids and my wife, and the reactions were simply stunning to me. I think believers are going to find this DVD awe-inspiring, uplifting, but also skeptics are going to find purely naturalistic theories of life stretched beyond the point of actually breaking. I mentioned earlier on that for millions of people today, science has become the authoritative arbiter of truth. And yet the problem is generally not the facts of science, but the theoretical presuppositions that endlessly distort the interpretation of those facts. To put it simply, it's not that some of our deepest questions regarding life have gone unanswered by science, but that these answers have often gone unquestioned. Again, that's why I want to send you a copy of Living Waters in appreciation for your gift today. Again, you can access it in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. One of the contributors, and he is absolutely fantastic. If you've watched any of the other films like the ones I just mentioned, Metamorphosis or Flight, you'll probably already be familiar with him. His name is Dr. Paul Nelson. He's an adjunct professor in the MA program in science and religion at Biola University. He's a fellow of the Discovery Institute, and he specializes in developmental biology and evolution. One of my favorite guests, welcome back.
Thanks, Hank. It's a delight to be back.
I totally blown away by this. I mean, I keep thinking it can't get any better, and it always does.
I love working with Illustra because they are able to tell the story of biology in a way that really everyone can grasp, and also challenge the prevailing Darwinian account with evidence. So one of the happiest things I do in my professional life is work with them on these films.
You know, it was really cool last night. I just mentioned I was watching this with a couple of kids. One was one of my kids, 11 years old, and the other was a friend. One, a very committed believer. The other, grown up outside the faith. And I watched both of them just as riveted as my wife and I were.
You know, the funny thing about whales and dolphins is the more you study them, the more amazing they become. So I was involved with that aspect of the film, looking at whales and dolphins. There's much more to the movie, of course, as you've seen. There's turtle migration and salmon migration. But the details are so interesting of how these living things work that really it does take your breath away when you sit down and watch it.
And the visuals are absolutely stunning.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I'm very proud of the film, and I'm beginning a series of lectures this fall dealing with the topics raised by it. In fact, I will be in Charlotte in October, so I'm hoping to come by and say hello.
Well, we'll have you on the show. A couple of things. Einstein once proverbed that the most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. And because mystery is the source of all true science, today, after centuries of research, debate, science continues a quest to explain perhaps the greatest of all mysteries. How do we account for the origin? How do we account for diversity? How do we account for the complexity of life on Earth? And I think this is really what the DVD underscores in spades.
That's right. And one thing I wanted to stress in the light of your opening remarks is science is a gift from God. He gave us our curiosity. It's a command to Adam right there in the garden. Understand and make sense of this world. God brings the animals to Adam to see what he would call them. So I view science as a gift from God. What's not a gift from God is the philosophy of naturalism, which says that everything that we see is the product of undirected physical forces. So if you can get someone to see that there's a world of difference between science itself, which is beautiful, something that we do that leads to knowledge, that makes our lives easier, that's not the same thing as the philosophy of naturalism that underlies evolutionary theory. And I think what the film does is it helps people to see that you can love science and learn from it and separate that from a philosophy that really has science in bondage.
You sort of already alluded to this, but talk a little more about the difference between science and scientism.
Scientism is the view that the only reliable path to knowledge comes from what we would call the natural sciences. But more importantly than that, at the heart of scientism is the claim that everything that happens in nature is the product of undirected physical processes. So evolution has to be explained by randomness and natural selection, and there's no role for a designing intelligence. Now, you couldn't get through your day if you actually functioned on that philosophy. Every human being knows that certain patterns and effects in nature are caused by intelligence, not by undirected physical processes. So at the heart of scientism is a misguided view about reality, because it excludes something from nature that we know to be real, namely the action of intelligence. And biology itself cries out in all its different lines of evidence for explanation in terms of all the possible causes, including intelligence. So I think what the intelligent design community is trying to do is encourage people to say, don't disengage your brain. You know that intelligence is real. You use it all the time when you explain the world. We should be able to infer that in biology if the evidence calls for it. So scientism with naturalism or materialism at its heart is simply not the same thing as a robust, open-ended science that's open to all the possible causes.
Let's talk dolphins for a moment. They're featured very predominantly in the DVD. They're geared with this complex biological biosonar system that is quite literally mind-blowing. Talk for a moment about the capacities of the echolocation system of these dolphins.
Oh, it's just amazing. You know, when we began work on the film, I began to educate myself about this system. And here's an easy way to think about it. When I need food, I pick up my iPhone and I punch in the nearest grocery store, right, or McDonald's or whatever. A dolphin is in water 24/7, 365, all the time. It's often very murky where they are. They won't be able to see very well. They've got to find their food. So it's absolutely vital that they can locate fish, track them, and catch them. And they literally see with sound. They have a system that is unrivaled. I mean, bats have something roughly similar, but they have a system that's present in no other mammalian group where they produce high and low frequency sound waves, project those out, aim them, literally aim them with the melon on their forehead out into the water. The echoes come back, and then they process those echoes and really see with sound. They can detect a BB in a swimming pool. They can tell you whether a ball is a ping pong ball or a golf ball. They can actually see fish under the sand, inches below the sand, the surface of the sand. And this system is so sophisticated that if you had been able to develop it yourself, you'd be a billionaire. And it's just remarkable. And the really amazing thing about it is there's multiple components that go into making it work. Take away any of those components and the system itself wouldn't function. So its very existence is a challenge to an undirected evolutionary process. But because to have biosonar that actually works, you need all the elements coordinated to give you the function. I had the privilege of being on a catamaran off of the coast of Dana Point in Southern California looking at dolphins, and the sounds that they make are just remarkable. It's really amazing.
Dr. Paul Nelson, I want to ask him a question when we come back from the break, and then we'll go right to your calls. The number is always to dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But when we come back, I want to ask Dr. Nelson about the evolutionary challenge of imagining that something as sophisticated as this echolocation system evolved in a mere matter of millions of years, and that by chance, natural selection, and incremental change. We'll be back in just a few moments. Remember the DVD available for your gift. You can find it on the web at equip.org. And your questions also in the next few segments of this broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
For millions of people today, science has become the sole authoritative arbiter of truth. Yet the problem is generally not the facts of science, but the theoretical presuppositions that relentlessly distort the interpretation of those facts. One source that clears up interpretive distortions of the scientific facts about Earth's underwater realm is Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. This DVD demonstrates how underwater life, including dolphins, whales, and sea turtles, reflects the highest level of purpose and design. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back to answer more questions. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, "I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative." God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include Assessing the Church's Change of Heart About Homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Dolphin's echolocation system, or biosonar, permits it to detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think this ability arose from blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the dolphin's biosonar and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy, talking to Dr. Paul Nelson, adjunct professor in the MA program in Science and Religion at Biola University. He's a fellow of the Discovery Institute. He specializes in developmental biology and evolution, and he's one of my favorite guests. And just before the break, had an opportunity, Dr. Nelson, to talk about the evolutionary challenge of imagining that something as sophisticated as what you were discussing in terms of the echolocation system of dolphins could have evolved by chance, natural selection, or incremental change?
It's a real challenge, because if you look at the paleontological window that's available, by that I mean the time that passes from the appearance of what is thought to be the ancestral forms of whales and dolphins to fully aquatic whales and dolphins, it's actually a very narrow window. It's about 8 to 9 million years tops. That's not a lot of time, especially when you consider that the breeding populations for these organisms are going to be rather small. These are not bacteria, right? We're not talking about a lot of organisms. And the mutation rate is very low, especially the beneficial mutation rate. So as you work through these various factors, there just isn't enough time available, there aren't enough good mutations available, and the complexity of the systems that have to be modified are so staggering that really there's no reason to think this happened by an undirected process, unless scientism tells you that's the only answer you're allowed. But I think an objective observer who's not constrained by that scientific or materialistic framework would say this clearly reflects engineering. This reflects the action of a mind or an intelligence. The funny thing about whales and dolphins, not ha-ha funny, but amazing, interesting, is that when you start at one end of the creature and go to the other, everything has got to be changed. For example, they're taking on a lot of salt water. If you and I ingested that much salt water, it would kill us. So their kidneys have to be modified to allow them to process salt water. Their breathing apparatus is different. Every breath that a whale or a dolphin takes is voluntary. When they come to the surface and open that blowhole and blast out the CO2 that they've accumulated, they're doing that under voluntary control. Now, your breathing is controlled by your brainstem. It's happening in normal circumstances entirely without you being conscious of it. For whales and dolphins, every breath they take, they're doing that under their voluntary action. So just march your way through that organism, looking at different systems. It all has to be re-engineered in a very short time window by random mutation. And I would say, even if I were an atheist, I'll be honest with you, even if I were an atheist or an agnostic, I would say there's no way this happened by an undirected Darwinian process. It's just not biologically plausible. We've got to look somewhere else for the true explanation.
One more question, I'll let you go. Obviously, you have invested your life in these films, and you are taking seriously every moment of your life. Only one life soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I want you to just comment on why you have invested your brain power, your gifts, the energy that God has given you in these projects, because I'm sure you're looking at eternal consequences.
You know, when I open the Bible, Psalm 19 or Romans 1:20 or the book of Isaiah, really the whole of Scripture says you can know that you have a creator. You can know that your existence is meaningful, that there's a purpose for why you're here from the things that God has made. I'm sorry, I get sometimes a little emotional when I talk about this, because it really does matter to me that we not take away from people the clear testimony of nature. You know, long before there was any revelation, anything written down for us, people knew that there was a God. Well, how did they know? They knew in large measure through the world that he made that testifies to his existence. So for me, the passion comes from looking at the natural world and realizing that signal is there. It's unmistakable. And modern science, I shouldn't use the term science loosely, modern scientistic philosophy or materialistic philosophy has robbed people of that. But you know, the funny thing is, people still know, down in their hearts, they still perceive design. We're built to perceive design. So for me, the passion and the intensity comes from this world testifies to its author. That's reliable. That's the basis of all true scientific knowledge. I want to reclaim that. I want to go back to the science that Newton and Boyle and Kepler and Darwin himself as a young man on the Beagle. That's the world they understood, and it's only really since the Darwinian Revolution that we've lost that. So, Hank, I'm sorry for getting a little emotional, but it really does matter to me because I think the consequences are enormous.
Well, you are deeply loved and appreciated, and I just from the bottom of my heart, grateful for what you've invested in these DVDs. Truly, only from the perspective of eternity will you know how you mattered in this regard alone. So again, my deepest respect and appreciation to you.
Well, thank you. I love doing it. It's a great job. And I hope to say hello in October when I'm in the Charlotte area.
We will definitely make that a reality.
Great.
God bless you, my friend.
Thanks for having me again. Anytime.
You got it. And again, the DVD, Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. You just have to have it. I don't know how else to put it. Yes, it is for your gift, and I hope you'll be generous, but this is something that is transformational. You could tell by the emotion expressed by Dr. Paul Nelson that this really matters. When you watch this, you are caught up in the epicenter of a glow. And that glow is the experience of the energies of God. You're watching his creative prowess. You're interacting with his mind. I tell you, last night again, mesmerized for an hour. And after that, a lot of discussion with the kids and my wife. Available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And look up some of these other resources. You can find them on the web. You can talk to our resource consultants, Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies. I mean, that in itself is just a bunch of words, but when you see the DVD, it'll become a living reality. Flight, The Genius of Birds, same thing. These are resources that you just can't afford not to have in your library, not to watch with someone that is an unbeliever. I just put it on yesterday, not telling my youngest son what we'd be watching. So I got this cool DVD. He and his friend were riveted for the whole hour and just chattering as they were watching this. The cinematography, the effects, the whole thing is just, I mean, it's like finding the best French restaurant, if you like French restaurants in Paris. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Again, you can find it on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Lad Allen and Illustria Media, you will never know this side of eternity what your work means. It's revolutionary. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers. First up is John. He's listening in Tucson, Arizona, NRB Television. Hi, John.
Hello. I read a long time ago somewhere that the scientists believed that there was another planet in our solar system, and they believe it was destroyed for some reason or somehow, and they believe that's where the asteroid belt might have come from. And actually, I think I even read that they referred to it as Rahab. But I noticed that in Psalms 89:10, there's a scripture that says, "Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered mine enemies with thy strong arm." There's also another reference to Rahab in Psalm 87:4 and one in Isaiah 51:9. And I also discovered one the other day in a Revised Standard Version, Job 26:12. And I was just wondering, well, maybe this was like a habitation of the fallen angels when they were kicked out of heaven or something. And I know the Bible refers to them as leaving their habitation. I was thinking maybe this is when they decided to come to earth and became the father of the giants or something like that, you know, when they crossbred with women. You have any...
You know, that's the stuff of mythology, not the stuff of theology. Rahab is a mythological sea dragon, and Rahab, in that sense, represents evil forces of chaos that are ultimately overcome by God. The imagery of this mythological sea dragon or serpent is employed in the Bible as literary subversion of pagan myth. It's not so we buy into pagan myth, it's the subversion of pagan myth. Though Baal, who according to the Ugaritic text or the pre-Jewish text of the ancient Canaanites, rides the clouds and smites the primordial seven-headed serpent that's lying coiled in chaotic waters, in reality, it is Yahweh. It is the creator of heaven and earth who alone can crush the serpent's head. So the Bible uses pagan imagery as a powerful theological apologetic by which to undress gods of wood and stone that are impotent to save. But the moment you take mythology and you make it theology, there are strings popping out all over the place in discordant fashion. If indeed mythological dragons or serpents or the devil or demons could have sex with women, which is the interpretation that you allude to in Genesis chapter 6, if that were the case, Satan would have creative power. If Satan had creative power, he could have masqueraded as a resurrected Christ. Now you lose epistemic warrant for the resurrection, and on it goes. So this is an insertion of pagan mythology on Scripture, as opposed to seeing what Scripture is really doing, and that is literary subversion of pagan myth. We're coming to station break again. The number to dial to get your questions answered throughout the remainder of the show, and I might stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265, the resources that we've been talking about, principally Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth, stunning, beautiful, breathtaking. It's available for your gift. Check it out on the web at equip.org. And by the way, you can join the CRI support team on the web. Just go to equip.org/donate and turbocharge the ministry. You will be touching lives for time and for eternity. Be right back.
The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, a new film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recently, Time magazine noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that, quote, "change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America," end quote. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Other topics include putting race in biblical perspective, two views on human origins, how Christianity led to the rise of modern science, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Because life and truth are under attack by secularists who deem the Bible nothing more than primitive superstitions and fairy tales, Christians are called to give reasons for what and why they believe to highly educated skeptics and atheists. Wisdom, however, warns against engaging in a defense of the one true faith without adequate training and preparation. The book by J. Warner Wallace, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, will equip you to present and defend the arguments and evidence for God's existence. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The likelihood of the astonishing intelligence manifested in nature arising from blind chance is simply preposterous. Did you know that a sea turtle possesses a biological system that allows it to navigate thousands of miles using Earth's magnetic field? Learn more about how sea turtle navigation and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the new film by Illustra Media. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we return to our phone calls. Next is Justin listening in Raleigh, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Justin.
Hi. Hi, Hank. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can.
My question is, does God interfere with free will?
Well,
I have a follow-up question after that.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. I mean, God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. Who can question what God does? I mean, the The mistake that Job ultimately made in the book of Job was asking God the why question. And the enigmatic response, in essence, is, you couldn't explain Einstein to a small neck crab. How am I going to explain me to you? You wouldn't get it. So God is sovereign over the affairs of humankind. Now, having said that, there's no question that God allows us to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, either in rejection or in reception. Ultimately, God doesn't force himself on any one of us. Those who end up separated from him in life and in eternity do so because they will not.
So the reason why I asked that question was when it comes to the problem of sin, some people might ask, why doesn't God make it such that we don't fall into sin? Being that it's our own free will that leads us into sin. Because in the Bible, there is a case where he does interfere with free will, where he hardens the Pharaoh's heart, thereby preventing the Pharaoh from allowing the Hebrews to leave with Moses.
Yeah, but there's two sides to that coin. There's two sides to that coin, in all fairness. I mean, you have to quote Scripture not selectively, but comprehensively. On the one hand, what you're saying is true. On the other hand, the Bible explicitly tells us that Pharaoh resisted the will of God, and the fact that God relented was a relenting as a result of his mercy. A mercy was the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Every single time God removed a plague, Pharaoh responded in disobedience. So God shows mercy, Pharaoh responds in disobedience. So mercy was the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, if you look at it from the sovereignty of God perspective. But if you look at it from the other perspective, as the Bible most certainly does, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. The Bible's explicit about that.
So Pharaoh hardened his own heart, not God hardened the Pharaoh's heart?
No, that's not what I said. What I said was the Bible gives us both sides of that coin. If you read through the Scripture, you see that Pharaoh hardened his own heart, just as in Scripture it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And when it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, mercy was the occasion for the hardening, because every single time God showed mercy, Pharaoh responded in disobedience. So both sides of the coin are given in Scripture. If you read through the Old Testament, I think you'll find that for yourself. By the way, I've written about that in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, which is available through the ministry. Though God promised Moses that he would harden Pharaoh's heart, the Exodus account underscores the fact that Pharaoh was responsible for hardening his own heart. Far from hardening Pharaoh's heart in a direct or deterministic fashion, God presents Pharaoh with ample opportunity to either, as I said earlier, repent or continue in rebellion. Every time God showed Pharaoh mercy, every time he removed a plague from Egypt, Pharaoh responds in stubborn disobedience, and therefore God's mercy, as I said, was the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. So in dealing with the issue, the Apostle Paul begins with the presupposition that God judges all men justly. And then he emphasizes the fact that people like Pharaoh are prepared for destruction because that is ultimately what they want. Every time God provides an opportunity for repentance, like Pharaoh, they harden their hearts in disobedience and disbelief. So in being true to Scripture, you can't give one side of the coin and omit the other side of the coin. You got to read Scripture in context. Otherwise, you have a text out of context, that becomes a pretext. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jason. He's listening in Hot Springs, Arkansas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have a question that there was a comment made that, you know, I stated that that God loves us all, even the sinners, as though we were like his children. And my basis on that was, you know, like the prodigal son story. And someone came back with me with the scripture of 1 John 3:1, and said that I can't call the sinner a child of God in that form, using that scripture. And I just disagree with that. And if you read that whole chapter, you know, it talks about Cain and Abel. And I thought, you know, John was talking to, you know, the Jews and the Pharisees and such. So what's your idea on that?
Yeah, I think the point again is that you got to read in context. Within the same epistle, John tells us who is the liar. It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. That kind of a person is Antichrist. He denies the Father. He also denies the Son. And no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So what's the takeaway? Well, John tells us, 1 John chapter 5, he says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So Christians are children of God. Now, they're children of God by grace. They remain human beings, but they're children of God because they have been adopted into the family of God and therefore are, as the Bible makes clear, joint heirs with Christ.
So it's wrong for me to say even the sinner, that God loves the sinner like a child.
Well, God does not love the disobedient. It is judgment, curses for those who rebel. It is blessings for those who repent. Everyone is made in the imago Dei, in the image and likeness of God. And we are fulfilled by becoming like him. That is a process called sanctification or deification, being made partakers of the divine nature. We're transformed into his image from glory to glory. And so this is what happens to those who are redeemed. But those who are not redeemed, the image of God is not being restored, but it is being erased in those who continue to rebel.
Well, you know, according, you know, to the gospel, we're to go out and tell people that God loves them. But what people are telling me is that when it sounds like you're saying that God don't love the...
Oh, God so loves the world, and he woos the world by the precious Holy Spirit. But we can respond to that wooing in disobedience and reject it, and then we become children of darkness. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. So there are those who belong to the kingdom of darkness and those who belong to the kingdom of light and life.
Okay. So my understanding is, like, if I went out and wanted to witness to someone, and let's say they were sinners, and they haven't really quite, you know, been approached with it, and then they reject what I share with them, then that would make them the son, you know, that would make them the son of the devil, let's say. But let's say they receive what I share with them, but yet they still haven't come to this side of the cross, would they still be considered the son of the devil?
Well, yeah, It's exactly what I just said. I mean, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, says Paul in Romans chapter 5, Christ died for us. But if we reject his sacrifice, if we reject the principles of his kingdom, we then remain in darkness. And we're not children of the king, we're children of the Antichrist. We're children of the principalities and powers of darkness. So we either choose light or we choose darkness. We're either, to repeat what I said earlier, of your father who is the devil, or you are one who can say every morning, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So we're either a principle of the kingdom of darkness or a principle of the kingdom of light. And it's how we respond to the love that God demonstrates for us as while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the just for the unjust.
So it's basically our response that makes us light and dark, but the love of God for us, or God's love for us, is just that. I mean, Jesus gave his life when we were yet sinners.
Exactly. That's exactly what Romans chapter 5 says. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I leave it at that? We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Can stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please do be patient. I'll get to you. And if you're dialing in, the number to dial in the U.S. or Canada, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can start dialing that number right now, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll be taking your calls for the next hour. Do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. We're standing shoulder to shoulder together in the battle for life and truth. Remember, Living Water is available for your gifts. Long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film in Alestra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of CRI, Hank would like to send you Living Waters on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, "I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative." God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism. An age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.